And welcome to Cruisin' for Eurovision. This week it's a mini-sode and I am rejoined by Josie to help me delve deeper into the hidden meaning of Top Gun.
Hey.
Hey Josie, welcome back after a whole full week. So we are discussing Top Gun some more. This was it's mostly inspired by the fact that Top Gun is homoerotic as fuck. But I mean, I hadn't really thought much about that beyond, you know, what was obvious, like, you know, sweaty boys playing volleyball kind of thing. But then a feminist writer called Clementine Ford, who you may or may not know, love or hate, she did a deep dive on her Instagram about the film. So it turns out she's a massive Tom Cruise fan as well. Don't know what it is with feminists loving Tom Cruise, but there are many of us, apparently. She did this amazing deep dive talking about basically the gay narrative of men dealing with, I guess, being gay or being bisexual. Anyway, I'm going to read some of what she wrote and then we're just going to discuss it a little bit just for fun. Because I did a whole mini episode about hentai, so why not about gay 80s movies? So I'll quickly read what Clementine Ford wrote. You can also check it out on her Instagram. She's saved it as a highlight. And she says, you might think you know the story of Top Gun. Maybe you remember it as the kind of neoliberal wet dream that helped define a 1980s America still trying to recover from the military disaster of the Vietnam War, using Hollywood to push a narrative of patriotism as seen in endless on-screen fare about the USA. USA defeating foreign powers, particularly Russians. This was also in the tail end of the Cold War. It is in fact a glorious homage to queer love between men explored through the motif of war games. This was so it could be deemed acceptable by Hollywood, still living under the shadow of the Hays Code. So the Hays Code, very interesting, and I highly recommend people look it up on Wikipedia or what have you, but I'll read what Clementine Ford wrote, which is just from Wikipedia as well. The Motion Picture Production Code was a set of industry moral guidelines for the self-censorship of content that was applied to most United States motion pictures released by major studios from 1934 to 1968. It is also popularly known as the Hays Code. Some restrictions, such as the ban of homosexuality or on the use of specific curse words, were never directly mentioned, but were assumed to be understood without clear demarcation. So yeah, basically the Hays Code changed Hollywood, like, significantly. So in the 1920s and early 30s, you could actually see some pretty risque content in films. Mm-hmm. Like, there are films where you can see nipples and you can see a decent amount of nudity. When there'd be, like, beautiful big scenes of dancers, you could see very revealing dresses and costumes. Just things that when you think about, you know, 5 years later didn't exist. It's kind of wild. Like in the 20s, there was like, I can't remember what it's called, but there's like a whole silent film about sex. And, you know, they didn't actually fuck on screen or anything. But so, yeah, this movie is about homoerotic love. And we're just going to have a little chat about it based on some of the stuff that Clementine Ford wrote. So I guess the main character is obviously Maverick. And he is the main one who is kind of trying to grapple with his sexuality, which is kind of, I guess, called into question when he first encounters Iceman.
Oh, because, yeah.
Because we have these two very handsome boys who piss each other off and everything. That's that classic kind of Hollywood love story where it's like they hate each other at first, and because one of them's a rebel and one of them's, you know, the good girl or whatever, and they end up finding love because, you know, something brings them together. All that sort of stuff. It's just that it was between two blokes this time.
I feel like the tension between Iceman and Maverick and Maverick and Charlie, mm-hmm. It could be quite similar. Like, it's, you know, two very competent people having clear sexual tension. Oh my God. And just trying to kind of one up each other in a different way. But obviously going after Charlie is the permissible option at the time for the movie, I feel, anyway.
There's also Goose. So Goose kind of represents heterosexuality, a heteronormative, like, nuclear family, like you were saying before, where he is happily married with a wife and a child. He's living the classic American dream. And he is also kind of like the conscience of Maverick, I guess,
yeah,
to an extent. Not that it really works. Maverick just does what he wants, but
I guess he does use, like, he speaks to Goose's dog tags and it's like, speak to me, Goose, speak to me, Goose, as if kind of blatantly saying Goose is his, you know,
yeah,
brought out the best in him or whatever. Yeah, you see two forms of kind of sacrifice by heteronormative people in the film. Like, it just occurred to me, Cougar at the very start is like, my wife and kids, sacrifice his career for them. And then obviously Goose has sacrificed, I guess, not by choice, his life for his country and some might say for his family as well.
So yeah, Charlie is obviously the hetero love interest where she, I guess, is the one who was trying to lure Maverick towards the hetero ideal American lifestyle, and does she succeed? Kind of. Like, if they cut that last bit out with her, like, it would have just... It would have been...
Actually, no. Yeah, you're right. If she didn't come back, then who's to say?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, and then there's Iceman, who's obviously the main love interest for Maverick, as Clementine Ford says that their initial meeting is the real meet cute of the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of like, if the Charlie stuff wasn't in there, it wouldn't actually probably affect the movie that much.
Yeah, like, you're right.
I'm glad when they sort of shoehorned her in there to have this older, smarter woman. Like, I really appreciate her character and everything, but imagine, yeah, just trying to picture, like, how much would the movie have actually changed?
No impact on the actual narrative, yeah. And where he starts off and where he ends up. And he doesn't even necessarily transform because of her,
no.
Because it's actually the loss of Goose that gives him any sort of transformation.
Yeah. And even, like,
anything.
He's getting all this shit advice from his seniors, but, you know, she gives a little bit more better advice, but it's still not enough. Like, he discovers what he needs to discover by himself anyway. So, yeah, if she wasn't in here, it would just be a gay movie, I think.
Even though there was an amount of, I guess, mateship and stuff in this movie, all of the really, like, emotional dialogue was mostly with Charlie. There was some with Goose and there was some with Viper, but most of it talking about his mum, what happened with his dad, all that kind of stuff actually happens with Charlie. So she's there, yeah, to allow Maverick to be vulnerable and emotional, which you also, you know, her chasing after him as well, so he can do that is, yeah. Again, like you said, I love Charlie, but yeah, she's... I think it's just to show, like, look, no homo.
Yeah.
Even though it's very homo.
Yeah, it kind of is how it feels, is that they were making this movie and, like, you know, they were initially just going to have this blonde bimbo character who was going to, I guess, yeah, be like, no, there's nothing gay here. But, you know, Tom Cruise fought for there someone to be smart, like a more worthy match for him, I guess, which kind of made her character a whole lot better, obviously. But... yeah, it still feels like she was just there to fulfill the criteria of an 80s action movie, which is you got to have a straight romance. Otherwise, mm-hmm. It's just too many sexy boys being too gay.
Yeah.
There's also the bit where, and it seems to be a thing that we've lost since the 80s, that men just kind of hanging out and, like, draping arms around each other and wearing tiny shorts and stuff wasn't gay. It was just an 80s thing. But we, I don't know, something in the 90s, we're just like, oh, no, everyone has to wear giant fucking cargo shorts and no touching, except for, like, that weird fucking bro hug some guys do. And
what year? Sorry, just like, what year was Ronald Reagan president? Like, I'm just curious. I'm just thinking about
AIDS crisis.
Yeah, that's what I'm just thinking. I don't know if that was before or after. Oh, well, Ronald Reagan was in when the Berlin Wall came down.
Yeah, the late 80s. So
yeah.
It probably was that, yeah. Like, the AIDS crisis happened. Everyone's like, oh, being gay now has this extra terrible stigma attached to it that everyone had to, like, disassociate themselves with. So seeing Iceman's Rio having his arm, like, really friend, like, draped around him and, like, everyone's kind of touchy-feely wasn't necessarily like, oh, that's gay. It was just how men kind of were in the 80s. Like, if you look at old pattern books from, like, from the 80s, and it is just the most flamboyant, wonderful outfits for men. And it wasn't for gay men. It was just men would wear tiny little shorts and sometimes they'd wear cropped jumpers and gosh knows what. And I do wish that would come back in fashion, but...
As long as it's on a sports field where there's also no homo,
yes.
You can wear short shorts. That
yes,
is the law.
That is it. That's it. That's the law of straightness. So yeah, there's just endless tension between these two, combined with them constantly being sweaty and mad at each other. It's just, yeah, like...
I would like to bring up something that Clementine Ford kind of pointed to, and I don't know if she was being facetious, but I took a lot of joy in it and it's just headcanon for me now. But she pointed out, and you pointed out in the full-length episode of Top Gun, that all the men are shirtless except for Goose, who's the obvious straight person.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed that Tom Cruise is wearing full-length pants instead of short shorts like the other men. Does this signify bisexuality?
Is it bisexuality or is it his, like, confusion? Like, he's like, oh, I kind of want to go there, but I have to...
Gotta have my big pants on.
Got my big stiff pants that make do not make volleyball any more fun.
Oh,
yeah, like that symbolism, like when you think about film, and I have studied film, not a lot, and I'm not in the film industry at all, but nothing happens in film but accidentally.
Mm.
Like everything's done, like all costuming and stuff is done. So whether or not they consciously were making any kind of thing, there has to be like some part of it subconsciously. Like why was the one guy who's in a straight relationship fully dressed, whereas all the other ones who all this tension was happening with are all shirtless and wearing short shorts, and then the one who's kind of confused is wearing no shirt but long pants. Like, yeah, it's subliminal, but...
I reckon Val Kilmer knew it was a little bit gay.
I'd hope so.
Like, just the way he's looking at Tom Cruise, like, even the way Tom Cruise looked at Val Kilmer, honestly. Like, again, you can love mates, you can admire your mates, but...
The way Val Kilmer is looking at Tom Cruise in those first couple of times in the initiation kind of class that they had, that was fuck eyes. Like, there's no other word. It's like, I don't know you. I don't know if I like you, but I think you're hot and I'm going to give you these fucking eyes to radiate those feelings towards you. And it is a good time.
I feel like if that happened to me, if Val Kilmer looked at me like that, I would be like a puppy that just like gets on its back and exposes its belly like...
Oh, okay.
Okay, whatever. Oh my God. Sorry, Val Kilmer, just insane hottie. Oh my God. I kind of forgot. I think I've only seen him in, is he in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang or am I thinking of the wrong movie?
I'm not sure. He's in The Saint, which is like a spy kind of movie.
He's in The Doors, which is where my first exposure to him.
Very, the most perfectly cast film of all times. He's also plays Batman in Batman Forever. He's my favorite Batman, personally. He's going to be in Top Gun 2. However, he is so sick, he's probably going to die soon.
Oh no.
He's really, really unwell.
Oh, Val.
I met him at a convention here a few years ago and he like put on a lot of weight. So people were like, ugh, fat man, like horrible. But it's because he was actually going through like an absolute horrible situation with his health. And now he's lost all the weight and he's gaunt because he's dying now. Which is fucking awful.
Well, at least he's not fat man anymore.
Yeah.
Real cool guys.
Yeah, real cool. Like same with Brendan Fraser. Everyone's just like, oh, he's not perfect anymore. Ew, disgusting. Like, you know people still have feelings, right?
Jesus also, Christ. You know that people fucking age. Like, Jesus Christ.
We aren't all fucking Tom Cruise, okay? The other thing Clementine Ford brought up was there's a nice scene where they're Iceman and Maverick are having a fight, and she likens it to a conversation about consent in relationships.
Yes, I love that.
And how there's tension with Iceman correctly valuing maturity and control while flying, experience sexually. Maverick is a loose cannon flying his plane, dick, wherever he wants to, regardless of who he hurts along the way. Ice is saying here, Maverick, you can't just fly your dick around without being careful. Sex is a conversation between people, and you need to be careful with the people you're doing it with. So cute.
I now want there to be just like some pictures of Val Kilmer with like good consent and relationship advice just written around it. I need that account to exist if it doesn't already.
Oh, that's great. Well, if it doesn't, maybe we can work on that. So yeah, there's and then we obviously get to the volleyball scene. And she writes, deep down though, Maverick cannot quell his hunger for ice. This is why he spends the few hours before his dinner date with Charlie oiling up and playing with the boys. And then she goes into how the movie obviously has no context except that the movie's actually about queer love and homoerotic desire coded for foreplay. Yeah, she goes through the scene really good, as we were just talking about. But she also showed the lyrics of Playing with the Boys, which I've never read in a while. Playing with the boys, staying, playing with the boys. After chasing sunsets, one of life's simple joys is playing with the boys. It's like, said it was the wrong thing for me to do. I said it's just a boys' game, but girls play too. I don't know what that means, but...
Oh, I think you can do some very queer readings of that with no effort. Or maybe it's just about volleyball in the sunset, in the Californian sun.
Just playing volleyball.
In a military movie. Yeah. It's fine. And it is actually fine. I'm just loving it. I love inserting queerness into maybe where there is or isn't any. It's kind of what I do.
And this is a thing that I thought of when I was watching it this time, after seeing Clem's talk about it, as how when Goose dies, it's actually the death of his heterosexuality.
Ah.
And yeah, so now he begins to question his recklessness. Does he want to follow Goose and quit flying dicks, or does he want to follow Iceman and be the best, most qualified dick flyer in the program?
But just be true to himself. Also, Ice.
Yeah, so, like, at this point when they kind of break up, like, he could have easily just been like, yeah, this is it. I'm just going to dedicate my life to being a flyboy. And, you know, it doesn't, because it is the 80s still, and they had to be like, oh, shit, this is too gay. We got to quickly, Charlie, come back. Come back and fix it up. Like I said, go have a look at what Clem Ford wrote. It's absolutely hilarious and very enlightening. If you've never really considered how homoerotic it is outside of the volleyball scene, when you start looking at everything else, all the other clues, you're kind of like, oh, okay, why? Yeah. I would love to know whoever wrote it, you know, if they had...
at all any intention.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're probably going to say no. But it's just, I don't think there's any other 80s movie that is quite as gay as Top Gun.
No, but... If you know of any, please let us know. I'm interested.
Because usually it's just, yeah, it's just straight romance, and then it's like, maybe there's a best friend there, but it's usually a woman trying to, like, fucking any movie with, oh, what's it called? Like 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink and all that, where it's like a girl with a male best friend who she should be with, but she fucking goes for the dickhead cool boy and, ugh.
Like reality, right, am I, ladies? Right, am I right?
Am I right, ladies?
You could tell I say that a lot.
Yeah, so basically, I do definitely think that Maverick was bisexual.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was spending time if he sort of grappling with it. And that if that movie was made now, I don't know if it would have been any more, like, on the nose, but maybe.
Well, I mean, I think about even just, like, is it Poe and Finn?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like... there's obvious tension there, and there was definitely space to make characters bi in that, and, like, overtly bi. They still chose not to. So I don't know, like, if Top Gun was made today, if they would make that any more clearer, because there's obviously still a lot of uncomfortable feelings around bisexuality.
So, because they are doing a new movie, and I feel like even though it's a sequel, it's going to be almost, not a remake, but, you know, like, it's going to be rehashing all the same thing, because there's a volleyball scene in it.
Oh, yes. Awesome. Okay.
But there's women involved in the volleyball scene. I really hope that they have a queer storyline in this new movie. That would be great. Like, why not? Like,
Absolutely. Why not?
They'll be satisfying enough. I don't think Tom Cruise would ever explore that.
No,
subtext.
I don't think so.
It's just, it would turn off too many people. The main demographic of people who are going to go see that movie would just fucking flip tables and burn down cinemas. So, but if they have a queer storyline in there, that'll be enough for me.
I think if anything, it'll be like two cis women having a queer storyline. I think that's the most palatable to people who would also go and, you know, as you said, Tom Cruise is like main demographic. We say main demographic, but I don't know. I think there's a few of us, what do we call ourselves now that I'm part of the club? Cruise heads?
Yeah. I enjoy how many people are like, I thought I hated him, but I've listened to your podcast for a while. I think I like him. Yes. And
yeah,
new Tom Cruise Renaissance is coming. You don't have to like his politics, his politics, his religion, dreadful. And all that sort of stuff. But I don't like most of what other Hollywood celebrities like. I try to ignore all of that personal life stuff because it's mostly too problematic, or, you know, it would put me off them. So if I have to ignore his religion, then so be it.
Yeah, I mean, I would challenge anyone to look into David Lynch's religion, because, you know, I love his stuff, but his religion is fucked. Like, holy shit.
And the amount of celebrities who have beaten their partners over the years who still continue to be. Like, I saw someone praising Sean Penn the other day. I'm like, he beat Madonna with a baseball bat. What the fuck,
yeah,
guys?
That's one of the lines for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're going to talk about... Anyway.
Yeah.
If you're listening to my podcast, you know how I feel about Tom Cruise. So, anyway, I recommend going have a quiz at Clementine Ford's deep dive about Top Gun. She also goes into the whole thing about how Tom Cruise had a huge part in making the Top Gun script a lot better, because apparently it was dog shit when it started and had that young bimbo character as his love interest, and he kind of went, like, you know, helped beef it up and make her character a lot better. And also the amount of time that he spent at Miramar learning and actually committing himself to the role, because Tom Cruise is the world's greatest entertainer and he cares about your entertainment. Oh, we'll leave it there, because, you know, we could go on about this forever, and I want you guys to find this out for yourselves, watch the movie and do some reading. For the meantime, can I get you to remind us where your podcast can be found?
Oh, sure. So my podcast is A Hill to Die On. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. Again, basically, we just ask a question, give our uneducated opinion, go away, find out more, and see if the hill we chose to die on was worth it.
It's a very excellent listen. I highly recommend it. You can also find me on Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram and Tom Cruise Review No S on Twitter, or just tomcruisereviews.com. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you liked hearing us talk about gay boys, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for having me.